A black mountain peak stands against a white circle. Insurge Pictures. Insurge Pictures presents a prototype production. The Devil Inside. The Vatican does not authorize the recording of Roman Catholic exorcisms. The Vatican did not endorse this film nor aid in its completion. October 30th, 1989.
South Hartford 911, what is your emergency?
A transcript, Maria Rossi, three.
Three people.
Ma'am, what's the problem? Are you injured?
Three people are dead.
Did you say dead?
I killed them. Send the police.
Ma'am, excuse me. Who did you kill?
I killed everyone.
Ma'am.
The transcript ends. A video plays. Crime scene walkthrough. Property of South Hartford PD.
This is Lieutenant Dreyfus, badge number 525 at 174 Willow Lake. Now entering what appears to be the living room. Living conditions are best described as being in a state of disarray. Watch your step.
Brown-haired mustache Dreyfus walks through a house crammed with belongings.
Kitchen, also in a state of disarray. Approaching the stairwell where a first victim was found, note the instrument on the floor.
A pool of dark blood stains a linoleum floor near a bloodied man's body.
Victim number one is facing north. Male, approximately 160 pounds. Sustained injury to the left temple. Now entering the basement where victims number two and three were found.
Filmed with a shaky video camera, Dreyfus walks down steps splattered with blood.
Entered the basement of the house. Find victim number two, female, approximately 120 pounds, facing west. In victim's right hand, we have religious paraphernalia. Apparently it's clutching.
A dead woman holds a rosary, her hair wet with blood.
Heading south. Find another instrument on the floor.
A bloody screwdriver lies beside the body of a bearded man covered in blood.
We find victim number three, male, approximately 210 pounds. We have trauma to the head, apparent strangulation with rope, which is broken or torn away. We have blood splattering against the door. In the center of the room, we have the chair. The right armrest of the chair is broken with apparent claw marks from a struggle. Various straps used for restraint.
The armrest of a wooden chair is splintered in half. The cameraman spins and shines his light under some nearby pipes and insulated ducts. Something jumps out. The recording ends.
WJBP Channel 11.
Quiet South Hartford community was leveled by tragedy as three clergy members were found dead.
At about 11:47 p.m. on Sunday evening, the 20th, we received an emergency call on our 911 line.
At least three bodies were taken out of this house. Two local priests and a nun.
Check the location for any other victims and have not found any.
Apparently, Maria Rossi was hosting a church group meeting at her home.
Our homicide detectives and our lab people are conducting their investigation.
Mrs. Rossi was found by police in a crawl space.
We can't speculate as to what the cause or the motive may have been. They're not ruling out any possibilities. However, at this time, we don't want to speculate on what may or may not have been the cause.
News cameras record South Hartford police officers putting a brown-haired woman into the back of a cruiser.
My name is Isabella Rossi, and that was my mother.
A black-haired young woman.
The thing you have to understand about my mother is that she just had a huge heart.
In old video footage, a young Isabella sings and skips. Now Isabella holds up a family photo.
And there we are. That was actually on my very... Can you see that?
In the photo, Maria cradles her infant daughter.
That was my first birthday party. And I don't think it was until I was about 6 years old that I actually started to notice, you know, something was different. Her moods were changing. Then she went away for a little bit, and when she came back, they said she was better, but she wasn't. We couldn't understand what was happening. No one had answers.
So why are you doing this film?
Because I really need to understand what happened.
Elsewhere, brown-haired Michael Schaefer, documentary filmmaker, stands in a field.
What Maria Rossi did and her subsequent life is incredibly tragic and clouded. And caught in the middle of it is a daughter who is just now learning the circumstances of that tragedy.
Gray-bearded Dr. Jeff Victoroff, board-certified neurologist.
If someone had asked me, how is it possible for Mrs. Rossi to have done what she did? I would have gone through the list of things that cause human aggression, something like major depression or schizophrenia or dissociative identity disorder.
It's my understanding that her current psychiatric diagnosis has been DID.
Father Christopher Ames, exorcist.
This is her seventh different diagnosis since 1987.
You start wondering, is it in my genes? You know, am I going to flip out one day? Just a matter of time.
A South Hartford Heights news report.
2 years after she brutally murdered three people in her home, a South Hartford jury found Maria Rossi not guilty by reason of insanity. Rossi was committed to the South Hartford State Asylum.
And then in September of that year, my mother was transferred to the Centrino Mental Hospital for the criminally insane in Rome, Italy. I never really questioned why Italy.
And when did your father tell you what really happened?
May 23rd, 2009, I was 25 years old. He just said it. He said, Mom attacked those people during an exorcism. An exorcism performed on her.
It's the job of science to try to sort out what is a reasonable, plausible explanation.
But science can't explain everything, such as a person levitating 2 feet off the ground during an exorcism.
Isabella drives to an airport.
I asked my dad if he thought she was possessed, and he said he didn't know. That she was gone, didn't matter, not anymore. He died 3 days later.
At the airport, a departures board lists flight 494 to Rome.
I called the church where the priest had come from, and they wouldn't talk about it. They said they don't have an ordained exorcist and never did. So we're on our way to see the Vatican School for Exorcism and to see my mother.
Isabella sits beside an airplane window.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous. 20 years is a long time, you know? So later, I was contacted by the Diocese of Rome. They told me they'd never authorized my mother's exorcism. That's when I knew I had to go to Italy.
November 26th, 2009. On a rainy afternoon, Isabella drives near the Colosseum in Rome.
I wonder how seriously they take the exorcism school, you know? I hope it's not a joke.
The dome of St. Peter's Basilica looms above distant buildings. Isabella drives toward St. Peter's Square.
Oh, wow.
She glances at the expansive colonnade which wraps around the sides of the square.
There it is. St. Peter's Square. San Pietro, la Basilica de San Pietro. Something like that.
Isabella walks to a stone building atop a hill. Apostolic Academy of Rome, Vatican City.
This school, it's drawn a lot of interest from all over the world. Maybe it can help me understand my mother's situation a little better.
She steps into a lecture hall with a dark-haired speaker.
Death even. And not just for the victim, also for the family members, for anyone in the vicinity, especially the priest. Sometimes a person can be tormented by more than one demon in what we call multiple demonic possession. These cases are extremely volatile and dangerous, and they sometimes lead to transference, which means the demon jumps from one person to another.
Father Robert Gallo, ordained exorcist professor.
The purpose of the class is to educate priests. And, of course, lay people about the devil's presence in their lives in modern society. For example, in Italy alone, there are over 800 satanic cults. We had a problem. We needed more exorcists. If it is possession, then first and foremost, we must rule out mental illness, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. The course is designed to explore all these conditions.
In a video, a woman lies in a bed, her eyes glowing in the dim light. Subtitles. Mama, help me. Is someone in there with you, Rosa? Help me, Mama. The young woman spasms and contorts her hands. Who is that? The devil? I told you, this pig is mine. Down on all fours, the woman charges the camera.
Okay, anyone? Any thoughts on that?
I believe the subject was clearly possessed. The subject spoke in multiple languages.
Come on, speaking in tongues, maybe. Incoherent babbling from a mentally disturbed person, certainly. I'm sorry, Father.
The subject displayed abnormal strength when confronted with holy water and while heavily sedated.
The delusional mind of a paranoid schizophrenic may actually react to holy water as if it were, I don't know, acid, urine.
I'm going to have to disagree. The girl fractured her own femur.
Her strength might have been abnormal, but not impossible. It's very well known that some epileptics do break their bones during a seizure. It's a fact.
As I said, we must be sure to rule out mental illness. In the end, this case could not be proved as possession.
The diversity of the class was comforting. And it wasn't just priests or nuns, but regular people.
People who are facing the same things I'm facing. People like me, looking to help someone.
Isabella dines with the young adults from the class.
So why are you here?
All this knowledge, you all agree on this, all this knowledge is invaluable for us. Yes. No?
David, what would you say drew you to this school in particular, to exorcism?
A brown-haired priest.
The combination of science and religion. I think based on my background in medicine, it gave me a greater sense of purpose.
We all talk so definitively about God and about the devil, but we can all agree that there's no real facts, right? No proofs. God has never helped me. What about you?
A student with long black hair smiles at Isabella.
Sure. Yeah. So when do you actually witness an exorcism in class?
Oh, this class is, it's all theory.
This is a school of exorcism, is it not?
It's not reality. Look at the tape we've watched today. That girl fitted every criteria for possession, except she wasn't.
It's a mental disorder.
No, when you witness and see someone possessed, you'll know the difference.
You say that like you have. Have you witnessed a real exorcism, Father?
Yeah, right after he saw the Easter Bunny.
I'm going to ask you something, Isabella.
Sure.
Curious. Why are you doing this documentary?
I'll be honest. My mom, when I was about 8 years old, she murdered three people, members of her church. I found out that she had committed these murders during an exorcism on her.
As everyone parts ways outside the restaurant, Isabella walks with David and dark-haired Ben.
Hi.
So your mother must be at Centrino, right?
Yeah, have you seen her yet?
Tomorrow.
Okay, well, the class they won't give you the answers you need. You need to see a real one.
How do you know when it's real?
You know.
Good luck.
Smiling, thanks. Ben walks off with David. Isabella turns to the camera and shrugs.
That was interesting.
December 1st, 2009. Isabella leafs through a binder.
Hey.
What are you looking at?
My mother's hospital instruction manual. Look at this thing. It's huge. Hey.
Isabella glances around a car as she drives.
Camera 1, 2, and 3. Which one do I look at?
You don't have to look directly at the cameras.
Oh, right. I need that.
And remember, the cameras are always running on the cars.
Let's go.
You know, my father received a letter from Rome. I guess because the priest were involved, the Holy Church got involved as well, and they said that they wanted to treat my mother at Centrino. They called it a offering of forgiveness, and I remember thinking that meant God was forgiving my mother. I was young.
She pulls into a parking lot.
Okay.
Isabella stops beside a gate shack, rolls down her window, and passes a letter to the guard.
Non è possibile andare in giro con la camera.
No,
no camera.
Show him the media pass.
She shows the guard a laminated pass. He examines it, then returns her documents.
Grazie.
Isabella rolls up her window and drives on. Later, she walks into the Centrino Mental Hospital, Rome, Italy. Off camera, Michael films her as she gives her documents to another guard sitting behind partition glass.
It felt like a prison, an old prison, really. But Dr. Costa seemed concerned.
She shakes hands with Dr. Antonio Costa, chief of staff.
Follow me.
She follows Dr. Costa into an office. He plays a videotape of Maria in her hospital cell.
I only show you this because your mother has not had a violent outburst in over 7 years.
Wearing a bathrobe, Maria paces across her cell with her hands behind her back. She faces a wall, then repeatedly smashes her head against it. Orderlies rush in and restrain her.
She's extraordinarily anti-religious. We refrain from religious items and discussion at all times. They can make her hostile.
During a taped interview, Maria grabs Dr. Costa's head and smashes it onto a tabletop. He fast-forwards the tape as orderlies restrain her. Isabella glances at the doctor, then continues to view the recording.
That's enough.
I'm not sure if you knew this, doctor, but my mother was involved in an exorcism while she committed those murders. Did you know that?
Isabella, your mother's case, although unique, is not a matter of demonic possession. It's a matter of brain function.
So why do you think she was transferred all the way from the States to Rome?
No, I don't know. It was before I arrived here.
Isabella steps out of his office, then follows Dr. Costa up a hallway.
Unfortunately, we've had to keep her heavily medicated. An exhaustive amount of meds, to be honest. Antipsychotics, sedatives, anti-anxiety constantly changes. She's a very, very complex patient.
Isabella stops at a window and gazes down at a few patients outside. One woman stands on a bench and sings. Nearby, two women sit on another bench and play checkers. Dr. Costa steps up behind Isabella and places one hand on her shoulder.
Miss Rossi, let's keep moving. She's having a very good day today, but there are still our rules. Don't talk about faith or God and stay passive. Hostility and aggression are, they provoked her in the past.
They step through a security door adorned with a crucifix.
Just precautions. It will be fine. In fact, there is a very good chance she won't even recognize you.
Dr. Costa nods, then continues on.
Maria!
He picks up a chair.
I have a visitor.
Isabella waits in the hall as Dr. Costa carries the chair into an open cell. Crucifixes adorn the doors and walls outside Maria's room. Isabella steps into the cell. Her mother sits at a small desk beside an unmade cot. Elaborate drawings cover the wall. As Michael films, Dr. Costa and an orderly leave. Isabella sits in the chair about 10 feet from her mother, who stares toward the ceiling without expression.
Hi, Mom.
I like your drawings. Maria, I'd like to speak with you if you'd let me, please. My name is Isabella. Isabella Rossi. I'm your daughter.
Maria's expression never changes as she stares upward with her mouth slack.
I just haven't seen you in a long time.
Connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts, connect the cuts, connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts. Connect the cuts, connect the cuts.
Isabella takes an old photo of them out of her purse.
Do you recognize this?
She sets the photo on Maria's desk.
Do you know how to connect the cuts?
I don't know what that means.
Maria smiles and widens her eyes as she pulls up the sleeve of her sweater, revealing gashes on her forearm.
Did you do that to yourself?
Maria pulls down her lower lip, exposing a cross-shaped cut.
Please.
Do you want to see my painting?
Yes, I'd like that. I'd love that.
Smiling, Maria takes a watercolor painting off the wall. It's a copy of the photo of Maria's husband and Maria holding Isabella as an infant.
Yes, yes. Maria, he was your husband. You loved him very much. Do you remember?
Maria puts her hands on her hips and furrows her brow.
Who are you?
I'm Isabella. I'm your daughter.
I don't have a daughter.
Yes, yes, you do. We just haven't seen each other in a very long time.
I don't have a daughter. Do I? Why? Why? Why not? Well, thank you for coming. Please say hello to your family from me.
No.
Have a nice day. No. Thank you for coming. I have to go. I have to go. I have to get ready.
Maria sits and scrawls on the desktop.
Shouldn't have killed.
What did you say? Maria, please, I don't have a lot of time. Please tell me something.
Maria stares at her daughter.
You shouldn't have killed your child.
What?
Maria stares at her daughter, then blinks and smiles. She motions for Isabella to come closer. Isabella doesn't move, so Maria scoots her chair forward.
It's against God's will, you know.
Isabella rushes to the door in tears as Maria stands and screams. Dr. Costa and some orderlies rush in.
Oh, out, 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 out!
Are you all right?
In the hall, Isabella nods, then rushes off.
Isabella,
Michael films Isabella from a distance as she walks outside, then sits on a bench alone. Tears trickle down her face. Isabella places both hands over her face as she sobs.
What's it like losing both parents? It feels empty.
Like there's no safety net to fall back on. But it forces you to be resilient. Possession and exorcism have dictated my life. It took my mom and it basically killed my dad. It defines me now. I mean, here I am. I flew across, you know, halfway across the world to see this woman who I never thought I'd see again. I don't like that it defines me.
I contacted Father Ben Rawlings and David Keane in hopes that they would review my footage from my mother. Luckily, they agreed and invited me to their loft.
Isabella walks up stone steps between two rows of buildings, then knocks on a nearby door. Wearing his clerical collar, David opens the door.
Isabella, hi, welcome.
How are you?
Father David Keane, M.D., ordained priest licensed physician.
It's hard to say why I wanted to be a priest. Maybe I was drawn to helping people. And I think that duality exists within all of us, and occasionally it can take form. Science can no longer help, and religion has to take over, which can be really difficult for people to accept.
Hi.
Well, nice to see you again. Hi. Okay. Can I get you a cup of tea or anything?
Sure.
And, sorry, I'm going.
Michael.
Father Ben Rawlings, ordained exorcist.
My family were always very religious. My mother and father, they were teachers, but I was closest to my uncle. He was a priest. And by the time I was 13, he told me that he was an exorcist. Well, as you can imagine, it's like, I suppose, you know, you're being told that that your dad's Superman. That's what it felt like to me, that he was in direct, you know, war, I suppose, with the devil. And I don't know, it blew me away, really. And so he took me along with him, and by the time I was 18, I'd seen four exorcisms. I'd even assisted on one, and it changes you. He unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. But anyway, when I was 23, I went into the priesthood, and by the time I was 27, I was an ordained exorcist.
Ben and David walked through the city at night.
But I'll tell you this, after all the years that I've been in the church, I've seen the devil way more than I've seen God. Just not the way it's supposed to be.
Ben watches Isabella's visit with her mother on a laptop.
And then, what did she say to you there?
Oh, yeah, at the end there, she started remembering things, specific things, and she said something to me, but I'm not sure if she said...
What was it?
I terminated a pregnancy about 4 years ago. The doctor said I couldn't carry it to term, so... Anyway, she knew about it, and she said that... Something about being against God's will, or something.
Hang on, let's just look up that.
Ben plays the video.
It's against God's will, you know.
That means something, right?
Well, possibly.
You said you had a copy of the medical chart.
What are those?
Oh, she cuts herself.
Yeah, those are crosses, Ben.
Crosses? Wait, wouldn't she not want crosses if she's possessed?
No. Look at them. The way that she's seeing them, they're upside down. They're inverted crosses. They're typically used in satanic rituals.
I don't have a dog.
Wait, is she speaking with an accent?
Yeah, she did that some. Why?
Different accents can be like speaking in tongues.
The pregnancy. Did you tell her about that at all?
No.
And you're absolutely sure there's no other way she could have found out?
I mean, there's no way.
See, there are basically four factors when it comes to determining demonic possession. One, unnatural strength. You've got aversion to holy objects. Languages or events that they could not have known, and preternatural movement, which is just basically objects moving around the room. So, strength, no. Languages, no. Preternatural movement, no. Aversion to holy objects,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but her accents, and Ben, she knew that information.
Yeah, that interests me. We need to show you something.
Okay. Can I bring the camera?
Sure.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Come on through.
Michael follows them upstairs as he films.
I'm good. I'm right behind you. Keep going.
Ben leads them into a home office. People's photos cover a bulletin board.
What is all this? Who are these people?
These are people the church turned down for exorcism.
And they're all possessed?
We believe they are.
These two cases are resolved. Those two are open, and we're almost done with this one.
This is the girl Rosa, right? From the video we saw in Gala's class?
Mm-hmm.
You both thought she was possessed?
She is. We think the church made a mistake.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are performing these exorcisms yourselves, without the church's permission.
That's right. We have to, otherwise these people would continue to suffer.
Isabella points to nearby medical equipment.
What is all that?
We monitor everything, heart rate, blood pressure. Go ahead. It's a camera we use to determine pupil dilation, which is very important in cases of possession. 9 millimeters is as large as the average pupil gets, maybe 10 or 11 under certain substances like cocaine, psilocybin, methamphetamines. Anything above 11 is considered preternatural.
Why doesn't the church help these people?
You see, that's just it. The church isn't in the business of healing people. The bureaucracy won't allow it.
Their hands are tied. In 1999, the church changed the exorcism rites for the first time in almost 400 years. Now a priest has to be absolutely certain that there's an evil presence in order to even attempt an exorcism.
Yeah, and that's a near impossible task, because a lot of the time, it takes an exorcism for a demon to reveal itself.
But rather than get distracted by the church's hypocrisy, we're going to continue to care for these people.
So that means that my mother's
The church will never pursue your mother's case, because the last time someone did, people died.
What do you suggest?
If you really want to help your mother, you need a better understanding of exorcism. A real understanding.
Okay, so take more classes and maybe show Gallo the tape?
Isabella, you'll learn more in 5 minutes of an exorcism than you will in 3 months in some class. Plus, you'll get to know the real difference between possession and mental illness.
Ben and David stare at her.
So witness a real exorcism. With you.
If you want.
December 3rd, 2009.
So the exorcism rites, when they were updated, what exactly changed?
Well, for one, all media coverage of exorcisms were banned. They were filmed much anyway.
Exorcisms can take minutes or they can take years, and no two are the same.
Michael drives Isabella, David, and Ben in a car.
Is this thing we're doing even legal?
No, not exactly.
You never know what's going to happen.
Against a gray sky, black birds fly over leafless trees. In a driveway, Ben and David take equipment out of the car trunk, then walk with Isabella up a residential street.
So do you still get nervous, or...?
A large dog lunges at Isabella behind a fence.
Demons like angels have orders for spheres, to be more specific, hierarchy, basically. That's imperative that you get the demon to reveal itself so you can deduce its rank in that hierarchy.
In our last session, we were able to hone in on our demon's identity. His name is Barith.
Look, I know we went over this before. Keep us between you and her, okay? I'm not kidding.
Right.
They approach a home. A gray-haired man opens the door and bows as they step inside. A light-haired woman takes Ben's hands as she greets him in the foyer.
Buona sera.
Father.
Yeah, where is she?
Peggio.
Worse. She's worse.
Okay. Let me see.
No. We had to move her downstairs to the basement.
The basement?
This is it. We're actually going to see a person who's supposedly possessed. So I guess now we'll see if it's bullshit or not.
Michael films Isabella as she follows the two young priests into a dark cellar with an attached workroom filled with tools.
She's in here.
Michael, come in.
Everyone bow their heads.
May the Lord bless us and keep us.
May the Lord let his face shine upon us. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto us and give us peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Ben performs the sign of the cross, then picks up his equipment and enters another section of the basement. David and Isabella follow him into utter darkness. At the far end, a single overhead lamp shines down on a cot positioned against a wall of exposed bricks. A thin white sheet covers someone lying on the cot.
This really is no place for her, Mrs. Sorlini.
I'm sorry.
Come on, please, please.
We don't know.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Rosa?
Ben lifts the sheet, then glances quickly at David, who stands on the opposite side of the cot. Ben completely pulls back the sheet, revealing Rosa from the video shown in class. She lies with one arm and one leg twisted awkwardly behind her back.
Bless you for your prayers. You must leave her to us now. All right?
Yes, Father.
This is to help loosen her limbs, keep her calm. It's very similar to a muscle relaxant.
David gives Rosa an injection. The young woman lies with her mouth open, tangled hair obscuring her face. Isabella stands at the foot of the cot with her arms folded. Rosa grabs the bed frame with one hand and twists her shoulder out of socket. She slowly raises herself upright, untwists her limbs, and lies on her back.
Okay.
David and Ben tie down Rosa's wrists and ankles.
Okay. Let's get set up.
There's no need to suffer the fact that two tears you perfect or in two.
Ben and David put on their priestly vestments and set up various equipment.
There's the origin.
Which includes a medical monitoring device. Michael sets up cameras around the room. Rosa lies with her head tilted to one side, her open eyes staring upward with dilated pupils.
It is Thursday, December 3rd, 2009. Subject: Rosa Sorlini, last session, November 13th, 2009. Rosa's appearance has worsened. Skin color and weight, temperament appears stable. Vitals are slightly elevated, but basically normal. Her pupils are dilated to approximately 9 millimeters.
Okay. Let's begin.
Deus Spiritus Sanctus. Imperat tibi sacramentum crucis.
Pupils still normal.
Rosa, are you in there? Can you hear me? I want to know how you're feeling today, Rosa.
She can't hear you, priest.
I remember last time, Rosa, you were strong. You spoke to me.
I hear you, priest. She was in agony.
No, she's strong. And getting stronger.
Ben.
Rosa faces Ben. You're fucked.
You don't want this one anymore. It's no good for you.
Rosa looks at Isabella. What's your name, my daughter?
Isabella.
She said my name. She said my name.
Stay back.
How did she
know
my name?
Don't listen to her.
5 minutes alone with her, I promise you. Cunt will not be.
Rosa licks her chapped lips.
I want you to leave the girl out of this.
My vehicle will escape.
I know who you are, demon. Your name is the right. Behold the cross of the Lord. Right, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I appeal to your holy name that you graciously grant me help against this force and attacks.
Rosa recoils from a crucifix. Stop, Ben. I'm fine. You did it. We won. Isn't that what you care about? Ben presses his vestments against Rosa's neck.
that you graciously grant me help against this unclean spirit that's tormenting this creature of yours. God, creator and defender of the human race, who made man in your own image, look down in pity on this, your servant. Now,
help me hold her down, Ben, help me hold her down.
Your mother, sweet Ben.
Okay, bye bye.
Hostile
force. The realms of the fear and panic. Repel, O Lord, the devil's power. Break asunder his heart. Unhide the rest.
Bleeding between her legs, Rosa arches her back in a rigid spasm.
Pressure's way up, 190 over 110. Come on, hang in there, Rosa.
Pressure, 190 over 110. Hang in, Rosa.
Please, let me suck your cock, David.
You're not gone, Barrett.
Yes, yes, I know you fantasized about it. A curse on your ancestors.
Blood pressure's going crazy. It's 220 over 110. Say it, Ben!
Somebody must command you!
She breaks free and grabs David.
Just keep hold of her.
Keep hold her.
Our Father.
Ben!
You are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name.
Ben, I can't.
Rosa twists out of David's grasp and leaps out of the bed. The lights go out.
I need the light.
When the lights come on again, Rosa crouches on the ground beside her cot. She snarls and runs up a wall, but Ben grabs her. Isabella helps the priests hold down the thrashing Rosa.
I have a whole
army of angels and Lord Almighty by my side.
You have pain? I give you pain. Saint Barnabas commands you, from whose sight you are not hidden. Saint Barnabas commands you. Saint Barnabas commands you. You foul, treacherous beast. Give way to Christ, in whom you found none of your works. Bow down before God.
Ben holds Rose's head as she becomes rigid.
Bring her back. Thanks.
David checks Rosa's eyes and pulse.
She's stabilizing.
Rosa shuts her eyes as her body goes slack. Later, Rosa lies in the bed again as her mother strokes her hair. David sits on the other side writing notes. Michael shuts off his cameras. Later, sitting alone, Michael shakes his head.
I don't know what to say.
December 4th, 2009. Isabella watches footage of Rose's exorcism with Ben and David.
Right there. You see how her pupil is normal again? That indicates that she's clean.
Now that you have this, now you can tell the church, right, that you saved her?
No.
Yeah, no, it worked, but that doesn't mean the church will support it.
That doesn't make any sense. Why not?
Because the church would have us arrested and deported.
What we're doing in the eyes of the church is very wrong.
That's why we know it's so right.
Isabella answers a cell phone.
Look, her appearance is completely normal, and so quickly after the exorcism.
Hello? This is she. Excuse me. R-O-S-S-I.
What's that?
Yes. I don't know.
I'm her daughter, and I just got here from America, and I haven't... I think that's a big mistake. Well, if you go back to the charts, you'll see that...
This is amazing.
Thank you.
Sitting in the next room, Isabella ends her call.
Coinciding.
So that was the Diocese of Rome. I asked for a reevaluation of my mother.
What did they say?
They thanked me for my concerns and said that any interference would probably jeopardize her well-being. Oh, and that God would be watching us over these trying times.
Are you all right?
Fine.
Can't believe the church turned her down.
Of course they're going to turn her down.
Straight to Dr. Costa with my own doctor, like David.
The hospital is outside Vatican City walls, and I think that means it's out of their jurisdiction.
What are you two talking about?
What's that?
What are you talking about?
Okay.
We need to talk.
Okay. David, give a second. Okay. We don't know what's wrong with Isabella's mother. Nobody does, because she hasn't been evaluated in over 15 years. She deserves a second opinion.
A second opinion?
It would give us enough time to determine her condition.
No, you want to give an exorcism to Isabella's mother.
That's not what we're saying. We just need time, and we need to know that she's actually possessed.
Yeah, then she can get the proper attention.
No, okay, yes. Look, that's not how this works. You're here to document. You're not here to get involved. First of all, it's illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
Yes, Ben, it is. And in the eyes of the church...
No, forget about the church, David. Why does it always come down to that?
What if this works? What if we find out that it's not DID?
Yeah, think about it, David. This could work.
Michael, look, I know what you're doing. I know it would be provocative for your film, but we will be arrested. How would it even work? As soon as they found out what we were doing, they would shut us down.
The staff wouldn't be allowed with us in the room.
Yeah, we should have that right to privacy on her behalf, right? So...
Yeah, no, you're right.
David stares at a tabletop as he smokes a cigarette. Ben stands, then turns to him.
David, just... What if it was your own mother?
December 7th, 2009.
I'm really nervous. I'm an active priest in good standing with the Holy See. And... regardless of the outcome, the church will find out, and it will put my job in jeopardy.
Isabella takes Ben and David to meet Dr. Costa.
At the same time, there are problems within this institution. There are things that I don't agree with. And in the case of Maria Rossi, I think we should take the time to actively deduce whether or not she's being tormented by an evil presence. I think.
What's the church's stance on Maria Rossi? Well, she's, faded into the system. She's pumped full of drugs and forgotten.
Orderlies bring in Maria.
If she became so difficult, there is a panic button on the wall. Yeah?
Yes, I saw that. Thank you.
The bottom line here is that something horrible happened back in 1989, and it wasn't Maria Rossi's fault.
You'll be screening her using SCIDD. 2 hours.
More than SCIDD, 2 hours,
I feel the church needs to change. We're so eager to just... brush things under the carpet as if they don't exist. I don't fit in this church and this guise of the church, and I have to do what I believe.
I see you soon, Maria.
Dr. Costa leaves Maria with Isabella and the priest, who secure her to an examination table.
I know it's dangerous and it might not even work, but I can't just sit back and do nothing.
As Dr. Costa disappears down a hallway, Ben shuts and locks the door.
Okay, not a problem.
Cameras record Maria's eyes while medical equipment tracks her vital signs.
The time is 8:32 a.m. on Monday, December 7th, 2009. The subject is Maria Rossi, session 1. The subject appears docile, heavily medicated.
David shines a light into one of Maria's eyes.
Pupils are mildly dilated due to the medication.
Okay, let's wake her up. When she wakes up, we'll see if she gets a reaction.
Ben puts on his vestments.
Counteracting medication. Medication should take effect in 20 seconds.
So this is when you provoke her?
Exactly. Okay. 10 seconds.
David sits at his monitoring station beside Maria.
5, 4, 3, 2, time.
Maria.
Eyes open, Maria lies with electrodes taped to her temples.
Maria, do you know what this is?
Ben holds up a crucifix.
Maria, is there someone in there with you?
I don't know.
Yes, you do, Maria. Who's in there? We can help you. We can free you from it.
EKG is normal.
They'll be angry.
It's more than one.
He traces a cross on her forehead with his fingertip.
Maybe she's clean.
What was that?
Yeah, we got something.
David studies the EKG display.
No, her pupil's still normal. Nothing.
Maria closes her eyes.
Is she all right? Yeah. She's sleeping.
It's the first time I've seen a possessed person fall asleep when confronted by a priest in holy water.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think...
A fly appears from Maria's nose.
We might be wasting
your time.
I'm
going to do everything I can to help her.
This isn't... consistent with any form of possession that I've ever seen. I'm sorry, Isabella.
Maria's eyes pop open as she shrieks.
The eyes are the most fully dilated.
Lord have mercy! Christ have mercy! What are you doing? We're helping her, David!
We need to help her.
Ben, this is not the time or the place.
Calm down.
Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Christ hear us.
Christ, please hear us.
God the Father.
I know you. I know you, little
God,
girl.
God the Father in heaven. God the Father in heaven, most merciful.
God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, I have blessed the holy name.
I know
against this unclean spirit.
Divination is at hand.
David administers an injection into Maria's neck.
Yeah. Oh, shove that needle in your fucking eye, you faggot!
I adjure you.
Ifollo!
Ancient serpent!
Ifollo! Non gratis!
By the judge of the living and of the dead!
You'll get to
by your creator!
Maria frees one hand and grabs Ben, but David restrains her.
Saints of the holy apostle of all the saints command you, reveal yourself before the creator!
David jerks and falls backward.
David!
Prayers of your devout, devout prayers of her men! The God the Father commands you!
Oh, you can't get back in your God's good graces, priest. Not after what you did. Me no vanigevo morto.
The video flickers with interference as Maria strains against her binding. She shoots across the room and collapses on the floor.
I get back. Come back.
Michael, put the hammer down and help!
No, I want to help her.
They place Maria back onto the examination table.
Isabella! Is it locked?
Isabella checks the door.
Kommen Ihre Hände abseits mich!
Tell me your name, coward!
Maria swats Ben across the room.
Come that close to me one more time, and I'll use your tongue to skull fuck the baby killer over there! The itsy bitsy spider came down the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
Isabella moves toward her mother.
Isabella, don't listen to it.
And dried up
it's not your mother.
Rain.
Isabella,
come on,
it's
Isabella.
Not your mother.
You know the words.
Isabella, snap out of it! Do it, you man!
Has he the God villain can the harbor?
You are guilty before our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you dare to nail upon the cross.
Standard pulse is 284. The rhythm is way off.
Not like the others, demon. Do you hear me, transgressor?
I hear
seducer?
You, priest. All you fucking do is talk.
She spits in Ben's face.
Apostles, Peter and Paul and all the
saints. She's now dropping fast, 90 over 60 feet. She's going in shock.
Ben.
Would it stop Ben?
Who condemns you? Rather he who rules the living and the dead.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Just stay there, Isabella.
Maria writhes as Ben holds the crucifix against her forehead. Isabella pushes him away and stares into her mother's eyes.
And the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let my mother go.
You'll burn.
You'll burn eternal. Poor child.
Face ash and Maria's eyes roll to the back of her head as she goes slack. The video flickers to black.
Maria. Maria, can you hear us?
Still going to regain consciousness. Temp is returning to normal.
Maria blinks as her color returns. Dr. Costa and two male orderlies stride into the room.
Over.
Dr. Costa places his hand over the camera lens. December 10th, 2009. Ben and Isabella review footage of the exorcism.
Look, just
this is preternatural movement right here. I've seen it before, but I've never captured it on tape.
So what does that mean?
It means we've got everything that we need right here. This is huge, Isabella.
Let's play it again.
Later they walk with David.
Do you realize how big this is? With the evidence we've got, the Holy See has to see us. They have to. We can go to the press with this, and in an instant we'd have 1,000 people standing out there.
Our priority right now should be getting her back to the States.
The endorsement of Dr. Costa is vital. But after the results that he saw, there is no way that he can't agree.
Dr. Casa doesn't believe that she was possessed or anything. He thinks that it was an exercise that shocked her system. Anyway, it doesn't matter what he believes because his referral is actually going to help us get her back to the States.
You can get back in your doctor's graces.
What are you doing?
Ben takes off headphones.
Oh, I'm just analyzing Maria's audio. I'm just trying to work out if there are more than one voice inside her. See that can.
You won't die.
See right there. You hear that?
You won't die.
She's speaking in tongues, right?
No. It's one sentence spoken in more than one language, I think. I'm just trying to ask that, how many.
Ben, what is she talking about? Is she talking about your uncle?
Ben raises his eyebrows, then puts his headphones back on and turns away.
I found four voices on the recordings.
You found four?
Wait, what does that mean?
It means that the entity and your mother had disciples. It was, we call it multiple demonic possession. You might have heard Gallo talking about it in class.
Wait, so it's a powerful demon?
Yeah, it's a beast.
David glares at Ben.
What?
How lucky we are.
Look. We're gonna deliver all our findings to the Holy See next Friday.
Yeah, maybe. He hasn't agreed to see us.
Yeah, well, have you told him that the press might be interested in
it? That's not very diplomatic.
Can you just wait a little bit till my mother's case is resolved?
Hang on a minute. You've got what you want now, that you're expecting us just to keep quiet? Michael, please, just get it.
Stop. It's not right,
Bella, because there are a lot more people to help rather than just your mother, okay?
Hey, did Father Gallo call you?
No. You?
Yeah, he called me twice.
David leafs through typed documents.
What did he say?
He wants to help us make the right decision. He's worried about us, especially he's worried about me.
You, why?
Because of my job, man.
David, what are you doing with the papers? Are you okay?
I'm fine. The conversations just give me a little bit of a headache.
David, he's just trying to scare you, that's all. He's a moral man, and he's towing the company line on this one, and you know it.
Blood drips from David's nose.
You got something over. You okay?
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry. I'm fine.
Tilting back his head, David walks out of the room. Ben steps up to Isabella.
Look. I'm sorry. Okay. Just a lot of stress. It's a lot of work to do for Friday.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
December 14th, 2009. Isabella storms out of a columned building with her hands in her coat pockets.
They won't release her.
What? Why not?
I don't know. They won't say. Can't or won't believe that she's better.
Isabella rummages through her purse as she walks down a sidewalk.
Where are my keys?
I don't...
Where are my fucking keys? They were right here.
I don't know. Relax.
Where are my fucking keys, Michael? I don't know.
Isabella uses a payphone.
There's no way the church can't see this. I can look them in the eye and tell them that it was the right thing to do.
At night, Isabella walks away from the Vatican. She glances over her shoulder, then strolls up a cobblestone street. Bagpipe players wearing dark robes approach from the opposite direction. Isabella stops in the middle of the street and stands motionless.
This is what they do. They cover things up, they ignore it. No matter who it hurts or destroys, well, not this time, not this fucking time.
This was supposed to be about my mother, not anybody else, not about Ben's ego or David's job.
I have a sinking feeling I'm going to be excommunicated for all this, for what we did.
David's inner cower is really coming out.
Ben and David, maybe I get them. They have their own thing going on, but Isabella, we started this together.
Michael's just nice to see. Stop. He just wants to kiss the chick.
They have this group of three, and I'm like the guy, the annoying guy with the camera.
Sitting alone in the living room, Isabella gets up and walks into the dark kitchen. She turns on a light, revealing David sitting at the kitchen table.
David, what the fuck are you doing?
He takes a bite of a sandwich.
If it weren't for me, no one would know anything about what the hell they're doing in their church and in their basements.
Okay, I really think we need to talk about some stuff.
David sits with his eyes downcast. Isabella stares at him with her arms crossed, then turns and walks away. David turns the lights off again. December 15th, 2009. Ben and Isabella watch a flickering video of the exorcism.
What's wrong with the camera?
Yeah, hang on, man. I'm just...
What's wrong?
What
happened? Not then, anything? Before.
Michael, did you see anything?
No, I didn't see anything.
But then anyway, okay, let's try another.
Yeah, but it's at the exact same time.
I know, and it must have been just in my power surge through the hospital. It's the only thing I can think of.
For all the cameras? It could be something else.
Hey, we're filming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Davey, you have to see this.
I have to go.
I said we're filming.
Oh, no, I heard you. I gotta go.
What's the matter?
The bishop denied our request.
What? Oh, no. What? It's David. Just a bloody meeting. What was the reason?
The incident's under investigation.
Of course, David, it is, isn't it? David.
Yeah?
Gonna be okay?
I hope so.
David, wait. I'm coming with you, remember? The baptism?
Come on, let's go.
Later, Michael films David outside a church.
Michael, how long is this going to take?
Just a sec.
Do we really need this?
Yep. I need to... Are you okay with that, David?
Yeah. I'm fine. You ready?
David walks inside.
Baptism. Baptism is the transfer of sins, both original and personal. For example... If a baby were to die after being baptized, it would go to heaven. And if before, it could go to hell.
David dresses at a mirror, then performs a baptism.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, our fair Father Christ, in his great loving kindness, hath ordained that his mystic bride, the Holy Mother of the Church, to protect her children at every stage from the cradle to the grave. And to this end is the sacrament of holy baptism ordained.
Amen.
David steps up to an infant in a woman's arms and traces a cross on his forehead.
John Thomas, in the name of Christ our Lord, I anoint thee with oil for thy safekeeping.
He stares at the infant, then sets down a vial of oil. David takes the infant out of the woman's arms and carries him to a baptismal font.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
He plunges the baby into the font and holds him down.
David, what's he doing?
Parishioners pull David away from the baby.
Stop, please stop! What are you doing, David? Stop!
Several people pull David to the floor. Later, Isabella records herself alone in the living room.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take this fucking camera, turn it around, and stick it in Michael's face. I'd like to ask him, what was it like, Michael? What was it like when... your mom fucked your father's best friend.
Still wearing his priestly garments, David walks through the room.
Hey, David!
Isabella glances around herself as Michael steps into the house. Ben walks up to him.
Michael, what's wrong with David? What's happened?
Michael stares at Ben as he carries his camera into the kitchen.
What's going on?
Michael sets the camera onto the kitchen table and stares down at it.
The kid almost died. What? What happened? What did you say? The baby was baptizing. He almost drowned it. What are you doing? No, wait, just leave the camera.
Is the baby okay?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Did you see it? Were you there or not?
Yeah, I think the baby's okay, yeah. And is he in trouble? I don't know. They called the police. Yeah. But he just left.
David!
okay? Just come open it. All right, okay. Well, look, look, he's been acting strange all day. Did you see it happen?
See it? I filmed it. It was like he lost it.
He's been under a lot of stress lately, so maybe that contributed to this.
I don't know, you should have been there. It was like he was crazy. Has anything like this ever happened?
No, of course not.
The lights go out.
David!
David?
What the hell's going on?
Michael, get the camera. We need the light. Just stand there. David?
They make their way through the house by the light of Michael's camera.
David?
Isabella follows Ben upstairs. Ben opens a bedroom door and creeps inside.
What the hell is all this? Ben, are those Bible pages?
Book pages cover one wall.
Oh, Jesus!
Hey, come here!
Oh, my God, Ben! Get his arms up! Put him up!
Eyes rolled into the back of his head, David sits in a corner with his wrists slashed.
No.
David and Isabella back away from him.
What do we do? What do we do, Ben?
I don't know.
I don't know what's...
Michael shines his camera light into the corner, but David is gone.
Get out! Go back upstairs, okay? Just stay down there.
Isabella runs downstairs.
Michael, did you see his eyes?
Shit! Men with flashlights burst into the house.
Father Keane! Where is Father David Keane?
He's upstairs. Very, very sick.
Upstairs.
Turn on the lights.
This is the only light we have. Riveni.
Father David Keane. No. He's upstairs. He's upstairs, but it's not safe to go up there. Just stay down here, please.
Shit. Do you need the light?
Michael waits at the foot of the steps as a policeman searches upstairs.
Non c'è nessuno!
The policeman returns.
La pistola mia è sopra ancora. Ha preso la mia pistola.
He took your gun.
Yes, he took my gun.
We need to get out right now. All of us need to get out. David.
David appears on the top landing.
David.
Yes, baby.
He's my friend.
David, listen to me. Put down the gun. Just put it down. The gun.
No,
okay?
David.
Listen to me. It's Ben.
David sticks the gun into his own mouth.
Be quiet.
Isabella. David, listen to me. All right, this isn't you. You must listen to my voice. Okay? This is your friend, Ben. This isn't you. Something else has taken control of you. You know this.
David backs up as Ben approaches.
Okay? Focus on my voice. You need to trust me, David, okay? Just stay calm.
I can't stop it, Ben.
Fight it, David.
Our father.
Standing with his back against the wall of Bible pages, David slowly takes the gun out of his own mouth.
I forgot it.
That's right. Now just give me the gun.
I forgot.
Give me the gun.
He says to say thank you.
He shoots himself in the mouth and collapses.
Ben
cradles Isabella's head as she convulses on the floor.
Shit.
Fuck! No! I need an ambulance now!
What's wrong with her?
Ambulance, Sage!
Later, Michael drives behind an ambulance with Ben.
You saw his eyes, right? Ben!
Saw his eyes!
Tell me what's happening. I know what's happening, Ben.
Maybe there's some transference.
Demonic transference?
This is because I mean demonic transference, Michael.
Transference like
fucking... Michael, please just shut the fuck up.
Don't you fucking yell at me, Ben.
Of course I'm gonna fucking yell at you. You've been here all the whole fucking time. Have you not listened to me?
At the hospital, a nurse stops Michael from following Isabella with the camera.
Please, wait here. Wait out there, yes, please.
Michael waits behind with Ben as doctors and nurses wheel away Isabella on a gurney. Ben walks to a bench, takes out a rosary, then sits with his hands between his legs.
Her name is Isabella Rossi. Can we see her yet?
A nurse opens a door and walks into a hospital room. Isabella lies in a bed against the far window. The nurse steps out again and shuts the door. Down the hallway, Ben paces as he holds a cell phone to one ear. Michael walks toward him.
I believe this transference.
I don't know. An officer.
Who are you talking to?
More than one. Four, possibly. Okay. I'll bring it to you as soon as I can, Father Callum. Thank you.
Isabella's nurse approaches Michael.
Yeah. It's David's fault.
Doctor asked me to talk to you, yes? Oh, she's doing much better, your friend. Oh, no, she's stable and she's resting, so
well,
I
can
suggest
we see her?
You go. Well, she's going to be here overnight, okay?
Overnight. That's not possible.
I know. Why is that?
There's something wrong with her. It's not safe here.
No, this is very safe.
There's something wrong with her. We need to get her out of here right now.
No, gentlemen, we are extremely...
Do you know who Father Robert Gallo is?
Ah, Father Gallo. Yes, I know.
Several nurses run into Isabella's room.
Isabella?
Ben runs down the hall after the nurse. Isabella struggles with orderlies beside a nurse with a slashed throat. Isabella knocks down the men and tries to crawl away, but they restrain her. Isabella thrashes as Ben and several people pick her up and carry her out of the room. Nearby, a doctor huddles beside the injured nurse. Michael steps into the hallway where Ben holds down Isabella. Isabella arches her head toward her tailbone.
I know this woman.
She's miscegenated.
Do it now.
Set the table.
This will bring your plans to nothing. Christ will have none of your plans.
Ben pulls down her lower lip, revealing an inverted cross cut into her flesh. Ben and Michael hold her as a nurse administers an injection.
Listen to me. I'm a priest. Please go and help those people.
Keep her here.
The nurse runs off.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Ben drags Isabella outside.
Just kill that woman.
We need to end this.
Grab her legs. Help me grab her legs.
We're going to follow the gallows.
What's he going to do?
I need help with the exosomes.
Get the door.
Later, Michael drives them away.
You really think Yana's going to help?
Yeah, no, I need help. I need to fix this.
Oh, shit. Shit, she's waking up. She's waking up.
I haven't got much time, Michael. We haven't got much time. Stay with me. Don't let it get to you, okay?
I was 13. My uncle told me he was an exorcist. You can't get back until God's good grace is raised. Not after me.
Ben cradles Isabella's face.
Ben?
You wanted him to die, didn't you?
Ben, what's she doing?
Just say thank you.
Ben grabs her by the throat and holds her down.
Stop!
Flailing wildly, Isabella pushes Ben away, then grabs Michael in a chokehold. The car veers across the road. Ben pulls her off of him and lies on top of her.
You're a murderer in the nest of serpents! You can't fuck me with the servant of God! Get out of
here! In nomine Jesu, exorcisote. In nomine Jesu, exorcisote.
Working, right? I have got under control, but I don't know for how long you're gonna hurry.
Sweating and with dark circles under his eyes, Michael blinks repeatedly as he drives. As Ben comforts Isabella in the backseat, Michael takes off his seatbelt.
It's gonna be okay.
Michael speeds toward an oncoming car.
Michael!
They toss about as the car rolls. Bodies fly around the car's interior. The video stutters and flickers as the car comes to a stop. The facts surrounding the Rossi case remain unresolved. For more information about the ongoing investigation, visit www.therossifiles.com. Directed by William Brent Bell. Produced by Matthew Peterman and Morris Paulson. Executive producers Lorenzo de Bonaventura, Stephen Schneider, Mark Varadian, and Eric Housam, starring Fernanda Andrade as Isabella Rossi, Simon Quarterman as Ben, Evan Helmuth as David, Ionut Grama as Michael, Susan Crowley as Maria Rossi, and Bonnie Morgan as Rosa. Description created by NCI Described Media. This is Carl Neubile.